Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. Everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Tennessee.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Three and Out Thursday edition. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford, intern Will. Huh, it's like Christmas morning. NBA draft tonight. Can't beat it. It's what we've been waiting for all summer long. Celebrate our volunteer basketball players.
Shut up.
What?
No. That's not true. It's like the most depressing draft ever.
We complain we don't have anybody drafted in the NFL. Now you don't want to celebrate. We have three guys potentially drafted in the NBA.
When two of them could have come back, you know.
I guess you got a point there.
Yeah, I'm just saying. When two of them could have come back, it's disappointing that they're gone. Proud of those guys, sure. But I'm not going to sit here and say this is the best day of my life. Been looking forward to it all summer. Today's just the final nail.
You should be happy for these guys. You should be.
I literally just said
joyful.
That. I don't know if you listened to the show. I just said I'm very happy for these guys. But
you're not acting like it, though. Your words say one thing.
There's disappointment in the long term.
Your face says another.
If you can't compartmentalize and find the nuance here, then you are a slow.
Hmm.
If you don't understand the disappointment in losing Jordan Bone and Grant Williams off this team, I got nothing for you. I'm very excited that those guys are capable to get drafted tonight. I'm hopeful that they both do. But to say it's not at least slightly disappointing that you don't have them next year, I don't think that's a lie.
Well, you know one guy that's going to be around next year. Tony Vitello.
What? That was a weird shift. Okay. It's fine. Let's just go. Let's bounce through all the topics in 10 seconds.
We'll come back.
No, it's fine.
The NBA draft's a topic for all day long.
Okay.
You teased Tony Vitello to the listeners on the video. I figured we need to start with that. I was taking your lead here. I just want to mention that it was NBA draft day. Some people may not realize that. Yeah.
What?
Following your lead.
I didn't mention Tony Vitello.
You put it in the Periscope.
Don't worry about what I type as the title.
Oh,
just do different things. No,
I just got to type something here.
I just got to type something. That's the title for the whole show on Periscope. I can only give it one title.
Oh, that's it.
So that's just somewhere in the 3 hours
the
we
lead.
Probably should talk about it. Don't worry about the lead being the title. You overanalyzed it. It's not your fault. We haven't discussed that before. But no, that was just there. Don't worry about that.
Well, it seemed like that was. That's all good news. There's no hidden disappointment or, you know, compartmentalization like you went through with the other topics. So I figured.
Yeah, a little less nuance, but still some.
Philip Fulmer announced yesterday, though. Tony V, contract extension through 2024.
5-year deal.
A lot of people are using the term locked down Tony Vitello.
Is there any such thing, really?
Well,
I don't know if you can really lock down anybody these days.
I will say.
Except maybe Rick Barnes. It took a lot to do it.
I got to give Philip Fulmer credit. He got the deal done before Florida State lost in the College World Series. The day of they lost in the College World Series. Florida State lost last night to Texas Tech.
It was a sign. We locked down TV, Florida State, devastated that their future coach is not coming.
Look,
he's changed his mind.
I'm glad
he's going to stay at the University of Tennessee.
I'm glad that Fulmer and Vitello got the deal done. I was surprised, and maybe this is a good thing. I want to hear your take on it. But his salary increase, you mentioned the average in the conference was, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars more than he was making.
Yeah, but it's impacted a lot by the Tim Corbin making 2 point whatever million. Mm-hmm. There's a couple more over a million.
So Vitello was making $500,000. He's now up to $580,000.
It's more than that for the life of the deal. By the end of the 2024 season, he'll be making $650,000 a year. So over the course of the contract extension, it's more like, you know, $150,000 raise. So,
yeah,
not bad.
So we won't be paying him. We won't be paying him more than, you know, Florida State will be paying their new coach.
No,
but again, he wasn't at the top of their list.
No, I'm very excited about Tony Vitello. That said, one good year in your second year as a head coach probably not going to earn you millions of dollars from other schools.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, Florida State lost last night. Mike Martin, the coach that's been there for 40 years, I couldn't help but notice that the big selling point in the Tennessee media release was Tennessee won 40 games this year, you know, which is obviously great. It was obviously a great season in the rebuild. And then I noticed that in Florida State's like rundown, Mike Martin had won 40 games every year for 40 years. It was like
every year,
every year. It was like, holy,
like from first year on.
That's what it said.
Oh,
I was like, man, been to Omaha 17 times.
How about that?
Never won the Natty, though. Couldn't win the big one.
Choke artist. Jeez. Man.
But no, this is a great thing for Tennessee. You think he took a little less for, like, on the, you know, on the facility side? Maybe.
I do. I think Tony Vitello probably had options as far as negotiations. Do you want more money now and less facility upgrades? Do you want all facility upgrades and no raise? Or do you want to kind of meet somewhere in between those opposite ends? And my guess is he said, I'll take a little money, obviously, because everybody likes a raise. And then he said, let's get the stadium. Let's get the locker room. Let's get the weight room all up to SEC level. And if we do that, and this is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. If I'm Tony Vitello, I want to look at the things that are holding me back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he thinks the ballpark needs work. He thinks the locker room needs work. Obviously, they need some strength and conditioning equipment of their own, as well as an upgrade to the place where they would do that. And I think he's thinking, I'll get a little money now. We'll fix all this stuff. And then instead of worrying about this 5-year contract, in 2-3 years, I'm going to be renegotiating it anyway because we're going to be winning so much because the recruits are going to be coming in and my team's going to be better. So I think this is the long-term play by Tony Vitello, which should make you feel really good if you're a Tennessee baseball fan. Really, in any sport, because this proves to me that Tony Vitello, who's been here 2 years, who was hired by a different athletic director, got along enough and believed enough in Philip Fulmer to say, I want the long-term plan, not the short-term pad-the-bank deal. I think that's a very positive sign. It seems as if Philip Fulmer, in 1 year with Tony Vitello, earned enough trust from the second-year coach for him to say, I believe in this place. I believe in my boss. I believe in what we're doing. I want this to be a long-term plan. Let's not worry about just doubling my salary or whatever. Let's fix the ballpark. Let's fix the weight room. Let's fix the locker room. I want to be here. If we do these things, I think I can get the players that it's going to take for me to win this league, to compete in Omaha eventually. I think this is a great sign for the future of Tennessee athletics and certainly Tennessee baseball because, you know, it's funny. Had my Tennessee shirt on yesterday, walking around. There's an older gentleman. You're excited about football? We talked about football for a minute. So what about that baseball coach? Said, I'm a little nervous that they haven't got him signed up yet, honestly. I think he's really, really good. He's like, oh, I do too. I think he's the real deal. He's a little young, but everything I've seen about him, I really like him. People seem to like Tony Vitello. People who didn't really care about baseball for a while. All of a sudden, this year, you saw him. So I'm peeking over the. We're in the SEC tournament. Oh, they made the NCAA tournament. It's a very good thing.
Impressive doesn't begin to describe the job Tony has done.
Amen.
With our baseball program these past 2 years, Fulmer said. I believe we have in Coach Vitello one of the nation's brightest young head coaches, from managing the game to player development to recruiting.
And Phil knows coaches.
And relating to today's student athletes, Tony has a firm grasp on all aspects of leading a major program.
He knows all the music, the dances, the fast food restaurants. He knows what they like.
He's surrounded himself with an outstanding staff, and we're going to support them as Tennessee baseball continues to climb. It's about the journey.
It's about the climb. Thanks for listening, Phil. Maybe throw a thank you this way sometime. But you're welcome.
As first heard on 3 and Out.
I've seen that a lot lately. I don't know if you've noticed. There have been a few people stealing our show topics as tweet ideas.
Huh.
Show topics of their own on their other show, their only show, on the weekend. We're getting robbed.
Oh.
Patent pending, copyright, trademark. Are we just going to have to do that every time we say something? Every time we have a show topic?
Well, there's a balance. You know, you don't want to be some people that say that about everything.
No, I don't want to be the, but, we did that first. Yeah. Oh, we have some people here who do that.
But just to be clear.
I just attacked the station. Sorry.
Clear, the first shot you threw out wasn't at our station. It was at
none of them were, honestly.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know how you look at this as anything, but especially the people who were, oh, we overpaid for Barnes. I mean, $80,000 in the first year for Vitello.
Oh, I feel like this was cheap. We got off easy.
I mean, first of all,
as long as he's happy with it, I'm great.
And then we're going to have to be some type of upgrades to baseball anyway with the potential sale of alcohol. Like, there's just certain things you have to implement. So facilities are probably all kind of in the need something category right now. But I hate to do this. I really do. It is just so weird how well things are going. I'm not saying your teams are all winning national championships and, oh my gosh, all the, but administration-wise, the decision-making, you feel good about it. You almost lose Rick Barnes, and Fulmer says, no, not happening. Now, UCLA had a lot to do with that, right? But Fulmer made sure it didn't happen, and that it wouldn't happen again, because now you've essentially locked everyone away from Rick Barnes based on what you did with his contract. Jeremy Pruitt says, I need new coordinators. Okay, go get whoever you want. Money's not an object. Like, whatever you think you need. He hired Kelly Jolly Harper. You, and I think fairly, slightly criticized, were at least wait-and-see mode. Early reports from Kelly Jolly Harper is that she may be pretty good based on some people I've talked to. Think she might have it. So we'll see. Tony Vitello has the best second year probably in Tennessee baseball coach history. Nate, you were the first to mention it in this market. Hey, Florida State is at least sniffing around. I'm sure there were other schools that were going to at least sniff around. And Philip Fulmer, who, by the way, was in North Carolina when Tennessee faced Liberty, when Tennessee faced North Carolina. So He traveled. He supported. And then there has been a gap, right? I mean, it's taken at least a little bit of time. I realize negotiations are, it's not a sit down an hour thing and we hammer it out and everybody's going home happy. But it's done. What was that, a week and a half ago we had this conversation?
That sounds right.
It took him a week to hire a football coach. Took him a week and a half to extend the baseball coach. It took him less than that to hire a women's basketball coach. And once the UCLA stuff, we had Rick Barnes kind of re-locked down after a kind of a long weekend. Boys, I think we got an athletic director. Everybody knows him. You didn't have to Google him when you got him, but I think there was concern, right? Like, hey, can he do this job? Can he not just be an old football coach with the athletic director title?
Yeah.
This is what you want to see. This is, for me, this is, well, it's a little bit different with Vitello because he wanted money spent on buildings, right? But spending money on people, making sure that you're locking down people and not paint or steel or glass to construct in some way that looks pretty on campus. Like, this is what an athletic director is supposed to do. Move quick, move smart, keep what's good, drop what's bad, and then do your absolute best to improve everything you can along the way. Checkbox, 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 checkbox. Philip Fulmer, impressive in my opinion, as we are now slightly over, what's that, like a year and a few months into his tenure as AD?
Well, and I hope we're
having, I'm very pleased.
I hope we're having this conversation again in at least in 2 years. I hope he doesn't make it to 2024. I hope they have to extend him again.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I think that's Tony Vitello's plan. I think he believes enough in himself, and I think he's smart enough to realize taking the money now, but kind of, you know, cutting off my nose despite my face here and not worrying about what's going to attract recruits when they compare us to Vanderbilt, when they compare us to LSU, when they compare us to South Carolina, to Florida, to Georgia. Like, we need to have everything they have and then let me be the difference. The problem is Tennessee lacking in facilities, lacking in fan support, and that's not Tony Vitello's fault, but it's like what we talked about with Neyland Stadium. If you make certain changes along the way, you keep people who would at least be interested. Good Wi-Fi, concessions, clean bathrooms, different seating availability. Looks like that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to turn Lindsey Nelson Stadium, at least for the meantime, into a more friendly, fan-friendly ballpark, while also upgrading his facilities team-related. This is a win-win for Tony V, and I think you're right. I think his plan is, I'm not making it to the fifth year of this contract because we're going to be renegotiating it in a year or two once I make it to Omaha.
Auburn hired a coach who'd never been a head coach before. He was supposed to be a really good assistant in Butch Thompson. They went 23-33 his first year, finished sixth in the West Division, so basically like at the bottom. Year two, pretty good
division though.
Year two went 30. Well, they were 8-22 in conference, so that's the real easy number to kind of compare to Vitello because those schedules are going to be at least close. Year two went 16-14 in conference, made the tournament, NCAA regional, didn't go any further. I mean, isn't that – what was Tennessee during for the year? They were right at 500 for the
SEC? In the SEC, yeah.
Went to the regionals. That year, Auburn was fourth in the West. That's kind of where Tennessee was, probably overall in the conference. Last year, Auburn went 43-23, really similar, 15-15 in the conference, but made the super regionals. They extended Butch Thompson, paid him $1 million a year.
See, yeah. That's that renegotiation that Tony V is looking at. He's like, I tell you what.
This year.
Next year, if I win 40-something games next year and get us to a super regional or Omaha, let's just shake my hand and say we renegotiate this bad boy.
This year, they only won 38 games overall, were 14-16 in league play.
But?
Beat Tennessee in the tournament basically to make sure they got in all the way to Omaha.
All the way to Omaha.
It's a weird conference, man.
It like, is. Well, it's a weird sport. I mean, right now the only consistent thing has been Vanderbilt.
Goodness.
You hate to see it. But no, I think we kind of stumbled into this on accident a couple weeks ago. We kind of discussed, if you were Tony Vitello, what would you do if you wanted to be here? And I think this contract, this specific extension that comes with promises of facility and stadium upgrades, this is the one that tells me, yeah, I like this place. I think I can win here. That also should make you feel good, that a guy who played at Missouri, who coached at Arkansas, has been here 2 years, and instead of saying, oh, yeah, I just want bags of cash, and I'll just do the best job I can for bags and bags of cash. Don't worry about all this stuff. Like, ah, whatever. No, this is a guy who said, I think I can make this kind of my own. Give me what I need, and I'm going to ride this out. We'll worry about my bags of cash later when I'm winning super regionals, when I'm getting us to Omaha, when I'm winning SEC tournaments, and when I'm maybe playing for a national championship, because that's what this guy's done. Like, he builds great teams. We saw the pitching from year one to year two go absolutely insane. And at this level of baseball, high school and college, it is about pitching. How many pitchers did Tennessee put in the draft? Was it two or three?
At least two. Two pitchers, two position players?
Was it two or and two?
Or is it three pitchers and
one? I thought it was three pitchers. I thought it was. I thought it was. I'll have to look. I thought it was a starter and two relief guys. I'll go back and check. But that's the difference. Pitching. Also, by the way, his recruiting class, none of them drafted, which was a big problem that Dave Serrano had. Is he would get all these really high-rated players to commit to Tennessee. Then here comes the Major League Draft, and you've just lost four guys who are now going to go sign with the team and never play for Tennessee. Great job recruiting them. Great job winning that battle. Didn't really help you. And think about how many hours you wasted in getting players of that caliber to commit only for them to say, sorry, no thanks. I mean, that's a big issue. So yesterday was a good win for Philip Fulmer for the University of Tennessee, and I think for Tony Vitello, because I think I say this all the time. I don't think, especially in baseball, basketball, football, like there's not much that will hold you back here if you're a really good coach. You know what I mean? Like everything you need is here. The geography, the money, the fan support, the facilities, you have it or we'll get it quickly. Phil Fulmer appears to know that, and Tony Vitello says, I think if you just upgrade my facilities a little bit, we can ride this thing on out of here. Big win. Feels good. I kept waiting, right? Mm-hmm. Kept waiting for the Tony Vitello in Tallahassee to interview with Florida. I kept waiting for that tweet. Not on Philip Fulmer's watch. Not on Papaw's watch.
We'll come back. It's a Thursday edition of 3 and Out. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee locks down Tony Vitello.
Feels good.
The same day that Mike Martin takes his final curtain call for Florida State.
Maybe that's what Phil was waiting for.
The College World Series.
It's like, they're losing tonight. Let's go ahead and announce you so they just lose twice. What did I tell you? If there's one guy who knows how to kick Florida State's ass, it's Big Phil.
It's true.
I was on that from
not wrong.
Jump Street.
Not wrong at all.
He was just waiting to twist the knife, and he did it. Big Phil, knife twister.
You know how hard it is to find coaching, like even good rumors and stuff on the internet for baseball?
It's impossible.
There's nothing. There's like one.
I typed in like Florida State hot board like last week, and there was nothing.
Yeah.
It was awful.
There's one college coaching buzz like running scoop thing on D1 Baseball. It's the only post in their headlines that you have to subscribe to, like, see. I'm like, I'm not paying you money.
They know how to get you.
I'm not subscribing.
Good for them.
I don't know. Maybe
that's smart. How dare you try to just go in there and read their
article?
Is it a
free subscription? Is it?
Oh, is it? That'd be interesting. They just want your email address to spam you to death.
Florida State lost last night to Texas Tech 4-1, ending their...
Hey, good year for Texas Tech athletics, by the way. I mean, wow. Wow. Big time run in hoops. Now look at them in baseball, football.
I mean, they're
wait and see. I don't remember what they did last year. Couldn't have been that good, though, was it?
Wait, wasn't that where Kingsbury was? And they fire him, and then he went to the Cardinals?
Or am I making that up? Last year he got fired? I didn't think he was there last year. I could be wrong.
Where was he last year? He's new with the Cardinals. Had to be, right?
I don't know. I guess they weren't good enough then if he got... So they fired their bad coach. That's a win. Trust me, I know what firing a bad coach feels like, and it feels like a win.
They went 5-7.
Not good.
Cliff Kingsbury, and then he went to the Cardinals, which makes
no sense.
Not good enough for Texas Tech, good enough for the NFL. Let's
yes,
go.
Correct.
So it's a rebuild for Texas Tech football.
Well, it's all about the climb.
Yeah. Vanderbilt won again. We're going to have to watch them win a national championship, aren't we?
Yeah. But Tim Corbin, hell of a job, man. When no one expected it.
Your SEC Coach of the Year.
Maybe National Coach of the Year.
Working on it.
I mean, Vanderbilt, name someone who deserves it more.
Maybe a guy that would sell lemonade outside the stadium during a game he was suspended for.
No. Not National Coach of the Year.
No, yeah. Disgruntled Vol tweeted in this, I fell in love with Tony V when he sold lemonade outside the stadium. During that game, he was suspended.
I forgot what he was suspended for.
Standing up for his guys, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I just don't remember the specific event. I remember the one in the NCAA tournament, or maybe it was SEC tournament, whichever one where he was ready to just snap that ump in half. I remember that one.
Yeah, that was different.
But I don't remember the one he got suspended for. But that's just a genius PR move by him. Just be out front, big smile on his face, selling lemonade to the kiddos. Genius. I'm telling you, the guy's smart. He gets it. I don't know if he's... What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know if it's an act. I don't know if he's... I don't want to say honest because that sounds bad.
He got ejected from a game.
Right.
Suspended 2 games.
Yeah, if you get ejected, you're suspended for... Is it that game and the next one?
I guess
the rest of that game and the next one. I think that's how they count the two. I don't know if he's genuine in what we see, but I do like his persona, at least to the fans and the media. Players seem to like him. So maybe it's all good.
All the money he raised selling lemonade went to charity. How about that?
I mean, how much money do you really make selling lemonade? Huh? How much did it cost? Did it say?
$1
a drink. You know, next year, he'll be able to sell beer.
That's a good point.
Talk about charity.
Yeah.
Raising money for the kids. Well, you want lemonade? Oh, you want the good stuff? come with me. Right back to this kiosk.
Hard lemonade.
Yeah, I guess they could. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just beer.
No, it's
apparently the city's holding this up. Have you seen this? So I'm iron out the details.
I wanted to talk about that at least at some point. They tabled the meeting that was supposed to take place 2 days ago, and they've extended it. So what was the extension? Like how long did they table the discussion?
I don't know.
I thought there was a hard number on this. Like, was it 10 days? Was it 100 days? Because that'll put us past kickoff of Georgia State.
We're at like 60-something right now, right?
72 or 71, I believe.
Oh, I thought I saw 70.
I got nothing for you.
Close enough. 100 would be way too many, though. Not good enough. Surely it was just a week or 2 weeks, like you said. Apparently it's just the logistics that's the problem, like the details.
Well, what does that have to do with getting approved, though? Is this to make sure that they're going to have the proper...
You got to have a plan. They want to know Tennessee's... Would you trust Tennessee's
plan? I thought they said
they've
been working on this for a long time.
You would think they'd have the plan already done, but apparently not.
In order to be approved, a checklist needs to be accurately completed.
Mm.
Not every box needs to be checked. Well, that's not accurately completed. To apply, but enough needs to be done to show that the company, Aramark, is moving in the right direction. According to the beer permit checklist, the board could approve the permit, approve it pending final documentation, deny it, or defer it. So we have no idea how long the discussion has been postponed. We have no idea how far along their checklist Aramark is. And we have no idea if Tennessee has a plan.
This says the vote to approve permits could take place at the next beer board meeting, July 16th.
So a month to get your ducks in a row. Aramark, what if Tennessee's all for this and Aramark messes it up?
You got to fire him. You got to get a new contract.
What was the other one we had before Aramark? Sodexo?
I don't know.
You don't know all the vendors? Come on, man. What kind of Tennessee fan are you? If you can't go back and name the vendors throughout the years. I think it was Sodexo.
The concession stand vendors.
I mean, yeah. Aramark, Sodexo. There's another one in there somewhere. Like,
I mean, this true is
joy
true.
Or something.
This reminds me of thinking.
It's like people who don't know that a Smoky Dog used to come with a pack of Golden's mustard in it. Like, if you don't know that, you're 12.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Do you know that, Will? Do you know that a Smoky Dog?
He's 12, or, you know, a little older than that.
Billy, did you know that? Do you know what Golden's mustard is?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know that every Smoky Dog in Neyland Stadium used to come with a pack of Golden's in it?
I didn't.
Yeah, inside the box.
I never bought
Nope.
Them, so.
Wrong again. Came in a foil pouch.
Yeah.
Mm.
They moved to the boxes a few years ago.
Okay.
Did it not come with a pack of ketchup as well?
I don't remember.
No.
I don't remember if there was ketchup in there.
I don't think so. It's just the
mustard. I don't recall. I think it was just Golden's brown, delicious mustard.
Yep. Cut the check.
They're still around. You can get it at the local stores. Cut the check. Aramark, please don't mess this up. That would be the most Tennessee thing ever.
That's not. I don't know. That's not the company that Haslam like has a minority share in, right?
I don't know. Probably. What don't they own? I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that he probably has some type of interest. That would be so Tennessee it would hurt. Yep, beer on the way. Well, sorry, they couldn't get their cups ordered in time.
More embarrassing, Georgia or Alabama saying, no, we're not going to do it, or Tennessee saying, we want to do it, but we don't know how?
I really don't understand what the holdup is here. Is it? I mean, I'm guessing the issues are, like, pickup and delivery, where do you store it? Do you have a place it can be locked up? And then for serving, how do you plan to distribute said beer? Where will your ID check kiosks be? I feel like this could take 5 minutes and we could probably hammer all this stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably take some other stadium's plan just hack it up and edit it.
Yeah. Like, just call Texas and be like, what'd you do? Thank you. And then add whatever percent of, you know.
Yeah.
Well, population of the stadium increase. Like,
right. Their gate 17 is like our gate 21. Change that number.
This is easy.
We're good to go.
Why does it say shipping from Austin to Austin? Oops, don't worry about that.
Rough draft. Let's fix this.
We said UT. They probably just got confused. Yeah, idiots. Please don't mess this up. Tennessee finally does the right thing, and someone else is going to step on us for it. Man, that's just a bummer. Weird, though, because this was – I mean, this had been in the discussion that was – you know, this was going to be discussed at SEC meetings. It was on the docket months before they went to Destin.
We even talked about
it. It's amazing to me that – Fulmer or somebody with the university wouldn't just call over to Aramark and say, hey, by the way, it's also amazing that you wouldn't already have that plan kind of in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like that's a good summer job for somebody who works at Aramark. Hey, listen, not a lot going on right now. We've got a 2-week break from concerts. I want you to put together the plan for Neyland Stadium, Lindsey Nelson, and Thompson Bowling Arena for if and when beer gets approved. Start putting that plan together. Call who you need to call, do the research, but let's make sure that the moment that goes through, we can be ready to roll. Because now, I mean, July 18th?
Said 16th.
July 16th?
Yeah.
So they're not going to know whether or not they're approved until 6 weeks before game one?
Seems pretty tight.
So then you've got to implement your plan, assuming it gets approved, order all that beer. You're cutting it close. You should have been prepared. This is a big deal. It's a big moneymaker, and you might be left holding the bag for week one or week two. Yikes. How does this happen? Has LSU been approved? I know Texas A&M said they're approved. So, they were ready, man. Like, Texas A&M was like, got it. Yep.
Here's the plan. Well, they said they're doing it. I don't know.
That's what I mean. But Tennessee hasn't even announced it. Like, Tennessee probably doesn't want people to know that they've applied for this permit, but Aramark had to stick it in the window.
Well, yeah, it's just a law, right?
Right, yeah, so that's the thing. So I'm wondering if those that are saying they... Because Tennessee has not said, yes, we're selling beer. They've just applied for the permit.
True.
This is like, you know, I'm not saying we're going to sell beer, but if we want to, we're going to be able to. It's kind of a weird thing. Whereas LSU and Texas A&M are just like, yeah, beer. We're going to have it. Cool. And Georgia and Alabama, the exact opposite. Now, donate $25,000, then you can purchase some beer. Tennessee, yes, we want to sell beer, but we can't because our vendor couldn't get the permit. Go Vols.
Final segment, hour number one, Thursday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. In college baseball, last night Vanderbilt beat Mississippi State 6-3 to stay in the winner's bracket.
How many innings did Kumar Rocker go? You know, I want everyone to be aware he was there for the game that got rained out 2 days ago. And Jeremy Pruitt let him stay for yesterday's match.
Really? Game? Match? Match.
Match, game, contest, okay. Event.
Well, Rocker got the win. He's now 11-5 on the season.
Are you looking at
Mississippi State didn't even score till they scored 1 in the 6th and 2 in the 7th. No, now I'm having to look down to the pitching box score here. People that don't know, Tracy Rocker's son pitches for Vanderbilt. He threw 6 innings, gave up 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts.
Not quite the outing he had last time, but gets the win.
So basically, congrats to him. He pitched through the 6 when it was 6-1. They were up 6-0 through 5, and then in the bottom of the 6, Mississippi State closed it to 6-1. They scored 2 more in the 7th, and that was it.
So they didn't score until they...
They scored 1 on him.
1 on him, then they took him out and then gave up 2 more?
Mm-hmm.
Should have left him in. He was feeling it. Bad decision.
So Vanderbilt awaits the winner of the loser's bracket game on the other side, and then that team will have to win twice to make the final championship series. So Vanderbilt's basically, it's weird how the college baseball playoffs or tournament or whatever you want to call it, like the whole thing, they go like 4-team double elimination bracket for regional, then a super regional best 2 out of 3. Then when you make it to Omaha, it's back to the 4-team double elimination. Then if you win that one, it's to the championship series. So basically, in this like Omaha 4-team bracket thing, Vanderbilt's already to the final and has to lose twice. Michigan is the other team that's in that same position. And as Tony V pointed out, you get a lot of off days in Omaha, especially if you're winning.
Congrats to Tim Corbin. What a job. Really surprised the doubters this year. How does he do it? Incredible job. So impressive. SEC Coach of the Year. Really deserved that honor. You know, for having the best team in the country and making sure that they played like it for the majority of the year. Great job by him.
Yeah.
Earning that $2 million.
Mm-hmm. today it's Mississippi State and Louisville. It's actually tonight at 8 o'clock. That's the only game. Winner of that one will go back and play Vanderbilt.
Exciting.
So there you go. There's your college baseball roundup. Tennessee's
thank you.
Got their man ready to go. I'm excited to see what they do at the stadium. Like they got.
I don't think it's going to happen like tomorrow.
No.
My guess is this is a 3-4 year plan.
But we might get, you know, some things here in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, like beer.
What's coming?
Beer's what? Beer. That's the first way to fix it. Everything looks a little better after a couple
just,
of beers.
Just goggle me.
Yeah. I'm just saying this. You don't really, you know, this. Seats are always a little more comfortable. Weather's always a little bit nicer. You know.
Do they have to have
that
a whole
orange
nother,
always looks a little bit better.
Do they have to have a whole nother plan for the baseball stadium? Like, are we going to have to check the boxes again? Go through this whole beer thing?
You know, that's a good question because the original Aramark permit displayed in the window did not mention Lindsey Nelson. So I wonder if they're, like, I guess I need to go drive by the baseball stadium today and see if they've posted one over there.
Maybe they have permits at all the locations in the windows.
And, I don't know. I don't know how that works because the one on Neyland Stadium says Thompson Bowling and Neyland Stadium.
Okay, I didn't realize
that's what
that.
I'm saying. Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
I'd say yes. It's a separate plan. You've got a little bit more time, obviously, to get that one set up.
Right.
So maybe they're worried about baseball and football. Basketball and football, and then they'll worry about baseball as soon as they get those passed. Grayson Beyer tweets in and says they're not waiting for approval. They've ordered the beer. They've tapped the kegs. Now they just got to get that. Would you do that, though, if you're not approved? Tennessee's like, yeah, sorry. I guess you could just sell that right back. First of all, I don't think they can have kegs, can they? What did they say? Or is it just going to be kegs? Just cups, right? So either open and pour or tapped kegs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you think kegs would be a little bit easier, a little bit faster? Than opening up a can or a bottle, pouring it.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean,
you can almost fast food the keg pours if there's a long line, right?
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
You can. You know how the Gatorade table's set up, and they're all.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want them sitting out too long, but yeah, you could have your Coors stack, your Bud Light stack,
go,
and
yeah.
your yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if the line's just there,
I mean, it's going to get approved, I would think. I mean, if all these NFL stadiums and other collegiate stadiums, right, baseball, if they can all get approved, like all you got to do is call the Smokies and say, hey, what'd y'all do? Can we do it? Tell us exactly what you did. Thank you. It's not that hard. It should not be that big of an issue. But I'm just surprised it got tabled at all. I'm surprised that they postponed the actual meeting for the permit because they should have known about this the whole time. I am surprised that Aramark did not have it ready to go immediately. Considering the nature of the conversations that were going on in Destin, maybe they were caught off guard. I figured the SEC would say, yes, we're going to allow it starting next year, but they decided to go ahead and do it now.
Let's grab Jeff on the phone lines real quick. 865-546-8200. We'll get him in here before the break. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Jeff.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I called in on your all show. Normally I call in on the evening show with Russell and the guys. But,
oh, we're sorry,
I wanted to
but
chime
welcome.
In. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to chime in real quick on the draft tonight, if I can.
Sure.
So I think Schofield or Williams, I mean, it's really going to be a 50-50, is going to go in the first round. But the one that kind of, you know, just a head scratcher for me is Bone. I mean, he's going to go late second. And listen, I know some guys aren't made out for, you know, school or whatever. I mean, I hear that. But like from a business perspective, it was a poor decision to go in the draft. Okay. Hindsight 2020, at least it was, because if he comes back next year and becomes an all SEC, all America type player, I mean, he's a first rounder, right? And so you're talking millions of dollars. You're essentially going to school to make millions of dollars in a year, whereas now he's going to sign like some 1 year deal maybe worth $400,000, and he's going to have to earn himself. He's going to lift his face. He's going to go through the NBDL. Like, am I the only one that's thinking that?
If the situation you're saying plays out that way, then you'd be right. I think some of the question is, will he? Would he? get that much better back here at Tennessee, and I think he probably thinks he can get better faster not having to go to class, and just he's kind of learned everything he can from Rick Barnes and this staff, and now he's ready to learn, you know, from professionals.
And Jeff, you have to keep in mind how well he competed at the combine. He came in first and second in almost all the athletic events. He's not going to – he could do that next season again, but odds are, I mean, you take advantage of that while you're high.
Well, I hear that, but what'd that do for him? I mean, what did that make him – did that take him from undrafted to middle, late, second? I mean
– probably.
I'm not Nostradamus, but he's not going to go in the first, and he'll be lucky to go middle of the second. I mean, we'll just watch it play out, but – I think that last year he played in the shadows of Grant Williams and Schofield, and he's arguably maybe the best NBA talent on the team from a talent perspective. So if he could have just played in those moments and, you know, led the team in that role, I do think that he could have improved his stock. It couldn't hurt it. Let's face it. It couldn't hurt it. So anyway, I'm hoping he goes a little bit better, but I really just think that it was a poor business decision to go simply because of the, you know, I think he would have been, it would have been ripe for next year to really shine. So anyway, we'll see. I hope they all go first. 1, 2, and 3. Thanks. Great show, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks,
yeah. I mean, I put the Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question out yesterday. Which Vol has the highest NBA ceiling? Jordan Bone got 58% of the vote. Schofield 23. Grant was 18.
Yeah.
Like, you see the ability. I guess the question is, though, Can you raise your stock that much coming back to Tennessee, or is it better to just go ahead and kind of get in the mix in the NBA now? Jordan Bone thinks get in the mix.
Yeah, we'll talk more NBA draft as we kick off hour 2. Stick with us. That's next.